Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
Good afternoon, Annalie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so good, Mary Phyllis. It's so good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
And this is such an interesting topic on sensitivity.
Sensitivity, yes.
There's so many people that feel they're just so sensitive and that things bother them, or they seem to become enmeshed in certain situations. They're just sensitive wherever they are, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Exactly. It distorts the sense of awareness in myself and awareness to what comes from outside and where are the boundaries in between.
Yes, like walking into a room and you immediately feel uplifted, and there's this vibration there that gives that.
Right.
Or you walk into a room and you can tell if there's something that had gone on in anger.
Right.
Or feeling great and then all of a sudden starting a downturn, sort of sad, and there comes a friend who calls or comes by and says, can I talk to you about such and such? Because
right.
I feel very sad. Then right. I'm realized
premonition.
Premonition.
In a way, yeah. A lot of kids today are very sensitive.
Are they?
You know, in schools, they have realized many children have a hard time sort of sitting down and being, doing quiet stuff, and they're sort of unorganized, anxious, and they have a lot of energy that just bursts out, and they have trouble sorting it out and handling it.
Yeah.
So I guess children, they're very sensitive, right? When you think of them, how they can sense what's going on in a family, even if nobody says anything.
Right.
And they are also prone to taking responsibility of these senses that they get, right? That something bad is going on. Don't even word it, but they just automatically take responsibility of it.
Yes. It's like it's theirs.
Right.
And they don't realize that this is our minds and our feelings are kind of like that proverbial radio.
Right.
And we can turn the channel if we wish to.
We tune in.
Yes.
And this can also then, of course, join us in our adult life, right?
Yes.
And that we're very sensitive to the world outside of ourselves, but maybe also in a way sensitive to the world inside ourselves, what's going on inside our emotions and also our reactions to what we sense from the outer world.
Right.
And this, of course, sometimes makes us feel disconnected and really not aware of what is me and what is this else that I'm sensing, right?
Yes. And it's a matter of starting to realize we are sensitive. We have had so many circumstances where we realize that we're picking up on somebody else's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else's energy is influencing us. Like in a classroom of children, that maybe the quiet ones, the more sensitive ones, feel like they're being bombarded by all the noisy ones around them.
Right.
Noisy vibration. I don't mean noisy loud sounds.
No,
it's the vibration. It's what they call the mob mentality sometimes.
Mob mentality, yeah.
In riots and things like that, people get caught up in it and don't realize it. But it can happen in subtle ways too. It can happen even with a musical performance where they immediately find that they are changed because of the music that's happening.
Right. That they sometimes even use music to calm children down and to sort of get them focused.
Yes.
And maybe even some of the unruly kids actually are very sensitive, and that's their way of sort of coping with it, to just run around like crazy. So it's a way of growing our awareness of what's going on really in the emotional world. In a way, right? Because it usually has to do with emotions.
Yeah.
And I know nowadays, before they spoke about IQ, intelligence, quantity of intelligence. But today they speak a lot about emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Or EQ.
Yes.
And I guess this is a good description of maybe what's going on, that we are more emotionally aware of others' emotions,
mm-hmm.
and then we react on others' emotions, and sometimes we are not aware of, we're aware of a lot of things going on, but we don't know, as you said, if it comes from somebody else, and it sort of overrides
yes.
our own state of mind.
Yeah, it, like sometimes when I first became aware of this, I knew someone was talking to me about something, and I knew what my opinion was, but all of a sudden, I spoke the opinion that she was giving.
Right.
And I thought, why did I say that? I don't believe that. And it just started me on this self-searching. I need to figure out who I am.
Right.
And be able to set up my boundaries around myself.
Right.
Not meaning to put a fortress of stone there where I hold somebody out,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of realizing what is me, what is that person, and what is the hallway between us.
Right. And the area where you sort of stand together.
Yes.
And where your different emotions are mixed.
Yes.
In your meeting each other.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And it seems to come back to the place of knowing who I am.
Right.
And knowing not just myself, like at one time I thought of myself as a teacher or as a musician, or somebody could think of themselves as a parent, or they identify with how they write things or how they speak things.
Right.
But those are all descriptions, but that's not our soul. And I feel like our soul is the uniqueness. Each one of us is a unique soul. There are no two souls exactly alike.
Right.
And this was a unique self back before all the things happened to me in this life.
In this life or in any life.
Yes.
If there are more lives than this, right?
Yes.
It's the original template of who I am, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some people feel it, some people see it, some people in some way know it, or in some of our inner senses, that's how we describe ourselves. How we, and it's something we cannot, I said describe ourselves, but it is something that we cannot convey to someone else.
Right.
We can't, I can say, I see a certain color, I get a certain feeling, but it still does not tell who I am. It's indescribable.
Right. It's so much more. It's impossible to pin it down exactly what I am.
Yes. Yes.
And we don't even know it ourselves.
Right. And what we know now, maybe 10 years later, if we keep working on ourselves, it will be totally different.
Yeah. So it's like our own evolution of ourselves.
Yeah.
With the constant changing of who we are or our awareness and emotions and how things turn out in life, right?
Yeah.
What happens to us?
Yes. And where we have a disturbance in that field of ourselves, we know that there's something there we're grabbing onto that maybe we need to let go of, or maybe we need to look at within ourselves.
Right.
It could be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's this awareness to things or sensibility to what's going on around us can be a disturbance, but also an inspiration.
Yes.
To understand more about ourselves and why we're reacting in certain ways. But I guess also what you're saying is that this uniqueness of our soul, we need to sort of come back to that every now and then.
Yes.
So we don't get garbled by all that we're aware of around us. Am I taking on somebody else's emotions? And I think, for example, if you take this kid in a family who just senses a lot of things going on and takes on a lot of that emotion that is going on in his or her family, in the end, this child might have sort of caught up on things that actually is not part of her at all for him.
Yeah.
So this thing of organizing our awareness about ourselves to sort of say, this is who I think I am, basically. My unique soul, and whether we understand it as a color, as you said, or as a feeling, we need to set up a little boundary.
Yeah,
and know where it all starts and still be able to be open to what comes to us.
Yeah.
If we don't have a boundary, it will just come all in and override everything.
Yes.
That really is me, right?
So. Yeah, and we end up being manipulated by everything around us.
Right. So a boundary is really not just to keep ourselves within that, it's also to be able to be aware of where things start or where they end. What's me, what's somebody else.
Exactly.
That is a boundary.
Yeah. And where we stand strong in who we are.
Right.
So if we can keep that. If we're trying to change somebody else's idea, that is something that's for them to do.
Right.
But as we try to do that, we come out of ourselves and we cross the boundary. And there again, we have changed something that we don't have the right to do.
Right. So we cross over our own boundary and the other person's boundary.
Yes. Yes.
So this thing when there is a difference of opinion, like you said, mm-hmm. we really are not skilled in that, are we?
Right.
If you look at the world, I mean, nobody listens to each other mm-hmm. and their views, and everybody's sort of voice gets just higher and higher, mm-hmm. you know, more argumentative and aggressive even.
Yeah, which says they have no boundaries when they do that.
Right. And I guess this can happen also when we get provoked by somebody else who tries to cross over our boundary and try to impose their opinion on me.
Yes.
Right. So how do we then keep the boundary and still express our opinion and express ourselves?
I think we just have to stay in that feeling of who we are and connecting with spirit.
Right.
With God, however you term that.
That gives us the strength to be, to stand strong of what I am.
Yes.
Even if all these disturbances from the world around us.
Yes. Uh-huh. And also to recognize maybe we're very sensitive because that's going to be playing into our life mission, or is already playing into our life mission.
Yes.
I've been to performances where I could feel that the musicians, particularly jazz, actually cleaned up the atmosphere.
Wow.
It felt so jangled with 300 people there. And then at the end of it, it was just like everything was whistle clean.
Right.
What a talent those people have.
Yeah.
Where they could use the music to help to change the vibration.
Ah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And some people may find that they have a talent of working with energies to help someone's energy.
Right.
To be cleaned up.
Untangled.
Yeah. Yes.
So these emotions, as we have spoken about earlier in other episodes, that they actually have an energy.
Yes.
And this, we can get tangled in this energy and not know where it started or where it ends.
Yes.
And it feels like it's impossible to sort it out.
Yes.
So to being sensitive is to allow the world to come close to us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time it's important for us to have our boundaries so it doesn't override who we are, so that we can deal with this.
Yes.
What we're sensing.
Yeah.
We shouldn't shut it off.
No. Because then we become a hermit or.
Right.
At some point, if we shut it off too much, we don't have enough air, so to speak.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden we explode.
Right.
So it's important to be able to.
To have doors open,
yes.
But still to be able to handle what comes our way.
Yes.
And this organizing of our awareness, I like that picture because it has to do with sort of understanding what's going on
mm-hmm.
and try to define it in an open way, but still defining it. Okay, this is somebody else that came to me and told me this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I reacted. Okay, I reacted emotionally on that.
Yeah.
And that made me lose my boundary. and we both got tangled in some type of argument.
Yes.
So to sort of see step by step, what happened.
Yes.
When something is disturbing us.
And if it is something that disturbs us, think of our mind as a radio. You can change the channel.
Exactly.
You don't have to stay with that negative, but look at it. Why did I stay with it? Oh, I have a negative thing. Oh, I have an issue there. If I can just forgive it or forgive that person or in some way change my radio dial.
Right.
Maybe I've been looking at too or is hearing too much negative stuff on TV or in the news. Maybe I need to change it to positive and then I can see it a little different.
Right.
But
and it's like those jazz musicians you spoke about.
Yes.
It's like tuning into them.
Yes.
Gives sort of a cleansing act.
Yes.
And if we're cleansed, then we can see more clearly and understand it better.
Yes. And I can remember one other performance I was in where there was a famous singer from the Middle East. And everybody, almost everybody in that hall was from that region.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just interested in all kinds of music.
Right.
And just the love and the companionship within that
community,
that also cleansed.
Right.
You know, it's just a lot of love and acceptance of people.
Right.
Which is so beautiful.
That's fantastic. That also speaks about how we can let in influences that are positive for us.
Yes.
So, and how art actually can be supporting us in finding what is my true soul and how to keep it clean, I guess, you know, but still open to new things, new inspirations, and also to understand someone better.
And we always have that spiritual component where we can focus on God or the spiritual help in some way so that it can make us stronger to stand where we are as a soul.
Right.
Or to understand that person is coming for help. Don't cross over there. There's a little something wrong going on there. They need help.
Right.
So don't say anything or need to say something because they're not seeing things. In other words, they'll tell you when to act and not to act.
Right. To really.
That's the main thing. Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting.
Yes. Yes. It's amazing our conversations. They always turn around a little different than I expect they will be.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
That is
fun. And I hope our listeners feel the same way.
Yes, I hope so too. Okay. Well, thank you for today.
Yes. Thank you very much, Emily.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annelie.